This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Somebody bigger than the earth is round. Bigger than the saddest frown. Bigger than the brightest smile. And longer than the longest smile. Somebody bigger than the biggest fight. And darker than the darkest night. Bigger than the biggest gun. Cause he's the only shining sun. Come on.
Who made the mountain? Who made the trees? Who made the rivers that flow out to the sea?
Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, and we had strong winds, and you learn to appreciate the beauty of palm trees and all of that in this beautiful, vast sky. Just absolutely stunning, beautiful. Anyway, that was Whitney Houston, and I played that for all of you, and especially a friend of mine out there who, Daryl Oliver, who stubbed his toe for a little bit, but he'll be back in the game in just a short time. So hang in there, Daryl. We love you. And nothing like friendship and brotherhood. So those two things go together, you get a monstrous relationship. So hang in there, and we're all pulling for you. And anyway, this is going to be a scattered show. So if you would, please feel free to call in 524-1080. I'm looking for a couple of things. One, I personally believe that we should kill the rail. And the reason is, kill it before it kill us. And it's going to drown us in costs and forever unforeseen costs and unacknowledged costs. Or they know the cost, but they won't tell us what the cost is. And so, one of the problems. And one of the major problems here is that what we have on the rail. Oh, and by the way, we had a glitch this morning on the internet. So if you're inclined to listen on the internet, go to KWAI 1080 AM. And you can go through that, or go to carolcox.com, and you can pick it up there also on the show. But what I want to hear from you is this. You know, if we voted to have a rail, the majority of us, the claim is, and it was a democratic process, we voted, and we were told maybe $3 billion. Now it might be $10 billion. So, in essence, we're voting for the cost of three rails, and I don't think that is what we intended when we were voting. So, what about the other costs, the cost of impacts on businesses as it's being constructed? And we say that it's going to cost that much. We need to hand over that chunk of change, now possibly $9 to $10 billion. What about all the unknown or unannounced things that the mayor and his administration and this city council, mind you, I have never met a lamer bunch of people in my life. They sit, they quick to jump on the illegal dumping issues, quick to jump on the don't lie, don't piss, don't speak, don't spit, don't carry a shopping cart against and chase the homeless around. But they have no integrity in standing up and just calling it what it is. It's fraudulent. The rail, in my opinion, is fraudulent. How the city has approached it, it's fraudulent, and it continues. And what impacts, the real impacts, we talk about the traffic that we see, but let's talk about the impacts of cutting back on manpower, on lifeguards, manning lifeguard stations, things that you don't know about and that this mayor is not going to tell you. Things like the zoo, all the bus systems, shaving and diverting monies. These monies, if they can't deliver it in $3 billion plus all of this surplus that is unknown and unspoken and unacknowledged or disclosed to you, then what do we have here? I would say that at the pace, if we really lay it out, this mayor, Caldwell, should be the first and last time he ever hold public office. It's just, it makes no sense that we would sit back and tolerate. Now, these are my opinions and my observations, and having the knowledge, whether it's green waste, solid waste, whether it's picking up trash at the houses and what have you, And we're going to talk about another way that this administration, this mayor, has allowed his director, Lori Kahakina, to hire an individual, two individuals, from the industry of hauling trash. One is Chris Gourlay, who has replaced Dave Shiraishi back in July of last year. And this is the types of things that this mayor tolerates. And I believe that he has basically grabbed the attention of all of you out there to divert and distract you as if the rail is of greater importance in all things. But when you look at the integrity and the way things are handled here, this administration gives a new name to fraud, corruption, mismanagement, and all of that in one package. I mean, remember now, he came in on the heels of benefiting from the PRP incident from the Cayetano. So that gives you some kind of reference point, what this gentleman is about. I say gentleman, I use that because I had a slip of the tongue. But no way can one man project so much negativity on the community, on the voting population, on the free people here. No way. And going ahead and giving out contracts and not delivering, impacting businesses. So 524-1080 is the number. And you heard me say about the Chris Gourlay. Let me explain something to you that is why I say what I say about the city council as well. You know, we did several stories on exposing the fact that the city and county of Honolulu, and please follow me on this because I don't like to talk in theories and I don't like to talk paranoid in fashion. I'm going to try to convey to you what I've observed and documented, and that way you can go and maybe make a decision and draw conclusions on your own. So the city and county of Honolulu has this front-end loader service for trash trucks. So, you know, you have the bulky item where the guys hang on the back and they go around and they pick up all of your sofas and glass and all of that they've discarded, you've discarded along the curbside. And remember, they hired some inspectors to go around and look at that and make sure you didn't put it out in time. Whatever happened to that costly adventure? And then they had press releases and, you know, press conferences to talk about that and how you were going to get punished and the fines. Whatever happened to that? But this front-end loader, so you have the trucks that lifts the big bins that are found in apartment buildings and offices. They have these big metal bins. And then you have the side loaders, which pull alongside automated, picks up the gray can or the blue can or the green can. And then you have, so those three, for example. Now, let's isolate this. We brought to you several stories and reported to you on this show and on TV everywhere telling you about this. So remember, Ann Kobayashi said that the reason the apartment buildings get a discount on water and what have you is that they have agreed and they will be receiving the trash, and that's why they don't get charged for it. Well, now all of a sudden, they want to charge the apartment buildings and the condominiums for the actual picking up. Well, remember we showed you that the trucks that they use, the front-end loaders, in Pearl City, there were 3 to 4 trucks that were always broken down. They say they couldn't repair them. They just would break down. And they would occasionally borrow one from Middle Street Yard because Kapa'a had one, but they had about 7 in the fleet, but they were always broken and they couldn't get money and they weren't going to invest any more money. Now, you heard me say the corrupt and manipulating the public's monies. So what do? You don't repair them, so you create a climate, as we've reported long time ago, you create a climate or an environment where you can't pick up the trash at the condominiums. So what's the next thing you do? You've created an emergency. You don't have any trucks, or the drivers are not available, whatever you want to claim. And then what you do is that you take this and you say, well, we have an emergency here now. And the director declares an emergency. Got to pick that trash up. So you go and hire a private contractor. In this case, Roll Off Hawaii. So, on the emergency conditions now, mind you, it's questionable what constitutes an emergency when, in fact, you have all the controls and making sure that you manipulate things as a city management to create this false emergency. So you farm out without going through protocol of procurement procedure, because you know every week you pick up the trash, or two times a week. So you had ample time, and you know how much your budget is for repair, and you know how many trucks, and you know how you can order and purchase new trucks. So this is a manufactured. This is what Kurt Caldwell tolerates and encourages in his administration. And in turn, Kahakina then takes her friend who formerly owned EKG, the company. I'll get the right name here. I don't want to. And so you get that company, and this is your friend, and you give them the contract, or you give them the emergency need to haul. You don't fix your trucks, the city trucks, because you're going to rely on your friend to come in, and you're going to hand your friend this business at the expense of the public. So now you get this movement from the city council, who says, well, the public at the condominium should be paying for their own trash. So we're going to privatize it. Now, some of this material, as we talk, this gentleman, Chris Gourlay, who owned the company, the former company, sold his company to Roll Off Hawaii, and the statements are that he maintained a position, an officership in Roll Off Hawaii. So we're told now that we've learned that he is now the owner of Roll Off Hawaii, states that he in turn fired Gourlay. But the question is, when did Gourlay go to the city and county of Honolulu? Was he still an officer? Is he still vested investments in the company? And so what you have is, it was a KNG group. KNG sold, Chris Gourlay sold to this company, Roll Off Hawaii. Now, the city and county of Honolulu is saying, we need to hire that out because we don't have the monies. These people should be paying their fair share and what have you. But the reality is they've manufactured this. So the question is, why would Kurt Caldwell hire an individual that is affiliated with an agency or an entity that's doing business with the state, with the city, and in turn hire him in a position where he is in waste management, and within that system, they determine which companies get the contracts. And Roll Off Hawaii has some of the services or serving some of those contracts or routes that the city formerly had. So this is manipulation at its worst. And it's so obvious, and we're going to be bringing more to you in greater details on this, but I just have to tell you, you cannot have this number of repeated offenses. It becomes obvious that you know, chasing the homeless around is to give you the impression that this mayor is thinking things out and has a concern for the people and the welfare of all parties, the homeless as well, when in fact that's a diversion to take the simplest thing there is, no matter how mean-spirited it is, and inflict injury on the people in the process while robbing you and treating the homeless unfairly and inhumane. So there's something wrong with this picture, and I don't know who's going to run for office as mayor, but I suspect that if we don't bring these things to the table and bring them out, this mayor, Kirk Caldwell, will be inclined to go and put his name in the hat for mayor or for governor or senator, state senator or national senator or Congress. You just never know. So let's call him on this. Let's let him know that we are aware of his activities. We are fully informed that we cannot, and this is just one example. There's no way a person from an industry that's doing business with the city should be actively involved in employment. And we even got, there's just so much to be said about this, and we're still putting the story together for you with the greater details. But something is wrong, folks, when you bring an industry person in and then it gives the appearance that and things fall in place that that industry person or his company or former company benefits from certain contracts and you, the homeowner, and the condominium owners and all of that. And I note that the union, UPW, filed a lawsuit on behalf of Solaris and Glenn, I can't think of his last name, but to ask for an injunction. And I think on the 19th it goes back to the courts. But I'm hoping, and one of the things that makes it difficult, you know, you get this information, you try to contact the union, and the union, well, they don't deal with outside sources. And I would be considered an outside source. But the facts, I mean, if you're there, take an issue with the city on its behalf of what it's doing, you don't pick and choose. You're looking for the facts. You're looking, but I guess hopefully they're aware of this, and if not, now they become aware of it. And there are indications that have been communicated to me, and I got to go further in confirming this. But one of the gentlemen who I've talked about before, Cedric Williams, who was just raking him over the coals because he blew the whistle on his bosses for drinking on the job, but also this whole process of trying to farm out and divert and set up these contracts with Roll Off Hawaii. He alerted the public, the media, and everyone to some of this, and they tried to fire him initially. Well, they couldn't find, so finally they decided they would fire him. And as a result, the union is filing lawsuit on behalf of others, but they won't even give him a call back when, in fact, the actual activity, the acts that Lori Kakina and others in that agency have inflicted injury on this man and has come right out and said, you talk to the media, so therefore we're going to fire you. Well, that apparently didn't work out, so they said that, well, you were violent in the workplace. So that's another point that I want to express about this mayor. These are acts that when you report that a supervisor is drinking on property, city property, then gets in his car and drives on the highway and gets flagged down by the police, and then in turn is let go by the police. And let go being that the police pulls him over And apparently he either says that who he is or he has a relative that works for the police department. And shortly thereafter, family members come to pick up the drunken driver and then escorts him home. And no citations, no nothing, no anything. So I spoke to you about that briefly in the past. But this is what Mayor Caldwell, these are the kinds of things that goes on in this administration. So you, in turn, can make the decision whether it's he's a first time, last time. But I'm here to sound the alarm for you folks. If you missed it in the past, this gentleman is no good, and he's not good for democracy. Everything is hurry up, build it, stick it in the ground, and then tell them, well, it's in the ground now. Why should we pull it out? Because the foundation is rotten. That's why we should pull it out. And what is the actual cost of the rail, as I've said before? So 524-1080, if you want to call. I'm going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back.
I was born and raised in Alabama, on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so raggedy that folks used to call me Patrick. Papa used to tease me about it. Deep down inside, he was hurt because he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with his shovel in his hand. See, education he never had, but he did wonders when the time got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely paid the bills we made all life. Him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulders. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Two days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you to do the rest. Then one day a strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. Mama knew what I was going through because every day I had to work the fields. Cause that's the only way we got our meals, you see. I was the oldest of the family, and everybody just depending on me. Every night I heard my mama pray, Lord, give him strength to face another day. So years are passing, all the kids are grown. The angels took mama to a brand new home. Lord knows, people, I've shed in tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years, saying, Patches, I'm depending on the sun to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Patches, I'm depending on the sun. I tried to do my best. It's up to you. I can still hear Papa's voice say, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Oh, I love to hear Papa's voice say, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you. We'll be right back.
like an angel who just started to fly. Well, you got a way that you're making me feel I can feel I can do anything for you, baby.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning again and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We're just chatting and piecing things together here. 524-1080 is a number, so if you're interested in calling, this is one of the rare occasions I just thought I'd leave it open. But anyway, going back to this, the subject of all of the trickery that is occurring in with the rail and with this administration, the city administration, there is an example. Last week you may have seen it on KGMB. Hawaii News Now, and there was a story where the there's a washer for trucks, city trucks, and they're at Kehi, at Middle Street. Now, that washer has been broken, and millions of dollars went into rebuilding it, and it's supposed to be part of the NPDS permit where you prevent sludge and grime and nasty trucks driving on the road and spilling your things, so you wash them and then contain that wash water and prevent it from going into the streams and what have you. Well, that is not functioning. Where's the money? They repaired it one time. Where's the money? And the men are having to wash the trucks by hand if they wash them. So, again, nothing is working. So the question is, did some of that money be diverted to the rail? So if they acknowledge that it's $3 billion that they needed and now they've not been able to get it or spend it, or they've spent it all, whatever the explanation is, How about the unforeseen costs, the shaving and the stealing and the diverting monies from different projects? And if you know of any projects out there, please let us know. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. You know, I was just thinking of, let's be the devil's advocate. The mayor says, listen, if, and even the governor, I mean, he was one of the main things about the rail. Listen, if we don't build a rail, we won't have all this development that we need to just bring jobs in this town. And then people can ride the rail to their job and they can live by the rail. And anyway, give your comments on that, because that's what the argument they're using is that this rail is going to be an economic what do you call it? It'll get them things really going on this island because you have the rail there.
Did they incorporate logic and facts and honesty in their presentation? Because
wait. See, this guy is a lawyer. You know, lawyer, liar.
Yeah. Well, you know, but there are some honest lawyers. I mean, they say they're rare, but the lawyers are, it starts off with, you know, a lawyer is to protect the interests of the client. So if the client comes in with bad intentions, that lawyer, once he sign on, he's bound by contractual and, I mean, he can't commit crimes. But when there's a debate, for example, with the rail and what was presented and how it was presented, let's go back to PRP and the subterfuge that was presented and has been fleshed out in court and have been settled.
Yeah.
And this mayor was part of that, and he was the managing director, part of that. You see, so. I think there's a greater fraud than talking about steel on steel and all of that, because how they granted the contracts and how they chose one, what was it, Parson in the initial stages. But again, we voted. We were asked, would we agree to a rail? The majority said yes. But it was only a certain price, right? At $3 billion, right?
Yeah, well, that was even in a way it was fraudulent, the voting, because the funding from the rail budget, right, to advertise that, or from the city, to advertise that to death, their side, and of course, we know the mayor is pretty much a fraud too. I mean, his election, and of course, even the, those precincts that didn't have ballots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was that all about? You know, I mean, that happened to be in some of the districts that would have gone for Caetano. Most of them, they are conveniently out of ballots. You know, come on.
Yeah, well, I'm just sitting here just chatting about it, but the reality is that I'm trying to figure out, you know, when something goes from $3 billion to $10
billion,
and that's what they're admitting. But you figure if we were able to look into the books and see how much is being diverted from various programs within the city, and we know, for example, they say that the bus monies were diverted from the bus, that they weren't used, some cockamamie explanation. But again, this is what the public has to, you know, there's this, here's a ruse, here's a trickery, in my opinion. You take, for example, they're saying there's an organization or a company or landowner that wants to swap land for the rail, near the rail, and then we'll take their rail, and we can put the prison there. Now, why do you suppose they want to give up their land to get near the rail? Because there's great profit to be had, right? So why don't the city itself keep its land and then become, and I know there's some going to say, well, the government shouldn't be making money. Well, that's BS, because first of all, you take license and fees, and printing costs. When I go to the city office for documents, they charge me 50 cents a page for the first page, 25. So what are they making money? I mean, they already have the documents, so there's always making money. So why would the city give that up? Why don't the city keep that land that's near these sites and say, well, we will become, we'll be the lease, the owner of the land as we are or whatever, and in turn, we'll lease it to you, and then we'll be able to collect funds for the maintenance of the rail and whatever, right? But no, it's part of this big giveaway, grand old giveaway that the city practices day after day, right down to the Board of Water Supply. And Kobayashi still wants to sell that land. That's land that the city already has, right? And sell it to her friends.
Oh, man.
And we're going to get a few bucks here, and then that's going to be squandered in what?
Oh, privatized. I mean, that's the big thing now. Privatized. You know the disaster in Detroit with the waterworks, what they did. You know, they privatized it, and then they cut off water to people that couldn't pay their down bills. And you know, I mean, that is total. That's health and safety. You know, and I mean, it really scares me. The new governor saying public private partnerships. Ooh, that stings. Because you know what? I mean, he's talking about the prison. The prison. He wants to build more prisons. Or build another prison. Private-public partnership, he says. And then we have Department of Public Land and Natural Resources who has connection. No, I guess it's the Attorney General that has connection with Correction. Yeah, Correction. Corporation of America, with the most probable private prison corporation in America, you know, and that's scary. Well, so what do you need? You need more prisoners. more prisoners you have, the more money you make.
Yeah, I guess what's problematic for me about this entire process is that only certain strata of people will end up being incarcerated in those prisons.
Oh, of course.
A guy like Roman Cocciola, a guy like Nestor Garcia, they will never see those gates, you see, but they will be the ones who decide that we make, and Mr. Chin will decide, he say he'll exclude himself or recuse himself on matters. That would be like Moses saying, well, when the people get to fornicate and all, that has nothing to do with me because I wrote the Ten Commandments, but, you know, but I can excuse myself from that. No, it's part and parcel to the whole thing. You cannot. And that's the problem here. And someone dismissed it as saying, well, it would be impossible to think that you could operate in this town without conflict.
Conflict of interest.
It would be impossible. In other words, it's impossible to go shopping without shoplifting, because there's so many attractive. You understand? It's like if you have a direct conflict, then don't ask to be placed in a position that you will have to recuse yourself. Just stay away from that. Get someone that's independent of that. But that's what's wrong. Privatization rather than prioritization. Putting people first and the people's interest. But again, this governor, this mayor, and anybody, I think they should do whatever they can do to get away with it, because nothing like looking down in the valley and see the sheeple. it really, I mean, you know, you can holler wolf and they get, you know, start eating grass faster. They don't really seem to care. And it's like, what are they waiting for, the grand savior to come along? I don't know, but I don't believe that this is normal. The reaction is a healthy reaction from the public when you can say, we're going to build this rail, which was contentious anyway, for $3 billion. And then now all of a sudden, the impacts. Yeah. You go down to Pearl City 24/7. The streets, three of the.
That's terrible. I think it's after 8 o'clock, at night, Monday through Friday, they have one lane going one lane, one lane going the other way. It took me 2.5 hours to get from downtown the hall to Waipahu on the bus. It was just stop and go, you know. And listen, this one, you know, most that they just have cones up. There's not people working on the rail. There's just a few spots that they have people working on the rail. But no, they have to put the cones up. It was about 4 or 5 miles from Portage to Pearl City. Yeah.
How do we know what gauge the real impacts? Okay, we for example, we see that area in Pearl City. Now I know Sam's Club. Home Depot and other businesses out there.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens in the loss of money? Are they they ever quantifying that? Will they ever repay these people back? Or is it so important that this rail, the sole purpose is to get people to their jobs?
Well, that's not even going to work that way. Never. Unless you maybe live a couple of years, you the big joke is the
Yeah, you're breaking up there a bit.
Okay.
But anyway, I see a lot of talk about the rail and what I don't see is people calling the mayor and standing firm and saying, you know, enough already.
Yeah.
It's at some point, but it's going to bring in a few jobs. And so what is really happening, right? What is the real benefit and what is the real cost?
However, can I take a devil's advocate again? Listen, Carol, if they stop it now, you're going to have all these, what they built so far. That's going to be a mess. What do you do with that? It's going to take another $1 billion just to take.
Well, I think it all should be left in place as a monument to bad government, as a reminder to the people. This is what happens when you sit on your asses and do nothing, when you're fed like cattle, when you just go along to get along, and then you turn around and complain. It would be a grand monument. It should be a national monument to speak to the lethargic, apathetic, non-caring American citizen now who have become hopeless, helpless, and absolutely just waiting to be led down the path. Whatever said, one moment they're ripping you off, the next moment they're patting you on the back going, we're doing this for your best interest. And
it's only about 40% of, what is it, here in Hawaii, it's about 40% of the eligible voters vote in the first place. So.
No, I could see it as I wouldn't be offended to just leave it in place as in a skeleton to say, this is what happens when you deviate from the American, the true values, and holding government accountable and being responsible and voting them out and using your voice to vote and all of that and participating in government and tell them we're not going to be hoodwinked. I would be proud to say and make it an international spectacle. Just leave it in place and keep it painted every year. Put lights on it at nighttime so you can see it and be reminded.
Become a tourist attraction.
Become what?
A tourist attraction.
Of course. You know, good government. This is what happens when you stray from the center line. You know, when you go to bed at nighttime and you leave it to the buzzards to run your business. You understand? And I, honestly, I'm not being facetious. We need that 11th wonder of the world, you know. So when a million years from now, people come along and it'll be like, Stonehenge. What is that for? Well, this is, people were lazy. They were apathetic. And every time they wanted something, they were selfish, and it was for their jobs. They had jobs, but didn't think about the future, didn't think about the future generations, didn't think about the offspring, the grandkids. It was for them and their jobs.
Well, you know, I really predict that, you know, if they don't get their costs under control, they're going to have to.
No, I think if they don't get the costs under control, which they're never going to get, because you can't quantify. They've never laid it out. Who's being impacted? A lot of people are dying on the vine, and you never know they were impacted. So the real true cause is never stated.
Well, I didn't know where they may get cut out. I mean, are they going to be able to get some more federal funding? That was the idea, right? But maybe, the way the Congress is, they ain't going to give out any more money for rail, that kind of stuff.
Bristle when get a little nervous when I hear that the Republicans have taken over the House and the Senate. Then I thought, stop. That's a good thing, because these Democrats, what they've done and how I've never seen such a screw job in my life. So to be so obvious, they don't even have any tactics anymore. It's just like, well, we need more GTE extensions, and we need this, and okay. And then you hear the legislators go, well, we're going to have to teach them a lesson, and then, oh, here you are, we give it to you.
Yeah.
City council, this is cause for great concern, and now here you are. Right?
Of course, really saved Hawaii. I mean, gave Hawaii a lot of stuff is because of Senator Noy, be senior and be able to be, we don't have any senior people there anyway.
But again, we don't need a senior person. We just need to be able to, if it's good projects, and then we fight for it. If it's a bad project, then Senator Noy brought us some money, but look where we are now. He under his watch, yes, it was put through. And now look, now that he's gone, look what the cost is.
Yeah.
Right? Look at the mess. So it's good to have someone looking out for you up front, but in the long run, what happens? Anyway, we're going to come back in the next hour, and please call back if you'd like to. Okay? All right.
Now we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. Oh, yes, there can be miracles when you believe, though hope is free. It's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe? Somehow you will. You will when you believe. Seems like the summer birds too swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here, my heart so full I can't explain. Seeking faith and speaking words I never thought I'd say.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is Senior Corps. 360,000 volunteers age 55 and older, driving results through.
In a little little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here, as I've always said, and any day in Hawaii is just an absolute wonderful experience. Anyway, we were talking about the rail, and there's always, it comes up, and I guess we can't dismiss it as being fact, as part of the equation, and that is Senator Noyer did bring some money here. But in this case, you bring some of the money, but apparently it wasn't enough. Or he gave it to, when he brought it, it was enough, but it was squandered or diverted or passed through and money's sent to other purposes, you know. So many, many, many questions we must acknowledge and congratulate the senator for having that ability to get monies and work on the better half of, but it would be the senator brought us an airplane with no wings, basically, or we got an airplane but can't afford the fuel. Any nonsensical explanation is out there and being tossed around. But if that is true that he brought lots of pork here, we're having to raise the pig and slop the hog or whatever you want, and we got nothing, absolutely nothing. And we're being led by fear. What if we abandon this? Oh, it would be a waste. But what if we continue? That would be a waste too, because we haven't tasked Hart or the city council or anyone even the governor, who immediately said he supports this and he wants it to move forward. But there's been no assurances that what caused us to find ourselves in this predicament where it's not working and cost overruns, there's no assurance that they have gotten rid of those problems. They've assessed it and made sure that all those things that trouble this process or presented themselves as problems were eliminated. So now they're saying, give us, we're going to take about $10 billion to build it. So how can we be assured that they put everything in place to ensure that we don't get defrauded anymore and it goes to $15 billion? I suspect that the way things operate in this town, you want to have a gaping wound in this project, because then you can bleed money off, you can divert it to your friends, you can give it to the richer guys, the banks and the real estate people and special interests, and you're not going to fix it. I'm just suggesting that it's the intent is never to fix it, because it's too perfect of a, you got the perfect climate here. You got people that really don't aggressively speak out. You don't, people don't really object. They just let things go unless it's sitting in their lap, and then they might be disturbed or bothered or speak out. So it's a perfect climate for a constant repeat of cost overrun, and no shame about it. They use a little crookery, and then come to us and tell us, yeah, we need more money. We see the bus system could be improved. We know that. The ADA services, the handy vans, they've been a problem. And to take money as, I'm just borrowing a phrase from them to say that, yeah, we diverted the money, but we never use it from the bus system. And many of you know that how the buses changed, and we had people on the show here talking about that. So the problem is, if any one of you out there think that you're not going to be stuck with the cost of this, think again. If you promise and the governor says he wants to privatize it, what portion of government does he wish to privatize? You notice none of them really have ever advanced the theory or the practice of or advocating for, well, in the process of privatization, why don't we just hire a really good manager to replace the governor, you know, and a good manager, a guy who's proven in business, a private entity, to come in and serve as mayor. Why don't we privatize those? We might find ourselves benefiting from that, because right now we keep the governor on who privatized, and we have employees who are working, and if we privatize, now we're paying two people to do one job. So, kind of strange. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question. Hello? Anyway, the thought we had a caller there, but 524-1080 is the number. Anyway, this rail thing, and I don't want to talk about the technical aspects of it. I went out to the harbor out in Barbara's Point, and I see there's this huge collection of rail and rail activities in the storage, and I wonder, did the governor waive the demurrage fees or demurrage fees for storing things? Because see, when you store things on the harbor property, you have to pay. You have so many days, and then after that, you end up paying. That's another cost. That's revenue that's taken out of the pockets of the state government, potentially. So if that is being given away free, away for the city to park its rails and all of its equipment there, how much is that? Let's go to the stadium. How much is that to just leave these things and let them have a staging ground? Caller, good morning. Go ahead with a question.
Can I ask Francis a question, please?
Go ahead.
Francis?
No, go ahead. You have a question for the show?
No, I want to ask Francis a question.
Caller, go ahead with your comment or question. All righty, if someone have a question for Francis. The board is lit up, but everything's an empty subject. So, anyway, this real thing for me is it's going to bring in some jobs and a pot of rice and some beans and a few things, and a couple guys going to get some jobs, and, you know, they're going to be, and after the construction is over, where then? So, again, I think it's an insult to lie to the people, present something, and then deviate from that. But then, is it a lie? Is it a lie when the people then start to accept it? Are they being defrauded when the people then get out and advocate for it? Oh, yeah, we need the rail because it's going to save us traffic time, and it's going to deliver a lot of people. I don't think so. I think it's just a game that we have bought into, and they have learned to manipulate the public, and that's where we are. That's where we are. We have learned to go along, get along. And anyway, that's what I have to say about that. Now, you know the fuel spill down there, and I can't let this go. And I've talked to you about it. Sand Island, 42,000, admitted 42,000 gallons. And there's something curious about that grabs my attention. The EPA is here working to prevent the damages or further damages and help clean it up and what have you. But I haven't heard them talk about a criminal investigation from the EPA side, Clean Water Act violation. And what I've noticed is that the EPA is actually serving as a barrier, a buffer, to soften and not, I don't see any attempts to prosecute or look to prosecute. They're just trying to, in my opinion, go easy on the polluter. And here's an example when you got federal agencies working on the same problem or the same issue. In 1999, and this is just up in Olympic, it's called the Olympic Pipeline accident in Bellingham, Washington. It occurred on June 10th, 1999. And this is, I'm reading from historylink.org, and you can Google this if you want to. But I thought this was quite interesting when you have two federal agencies involved. And one has a responsibility of prosecuting, but they don't. They seem to get in and become cozy with the operator or the polluter or the offender. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Carol. One more thing. Didn't you hear them? Just the maintenance when they finally get it done, if they do, would be like $50 million. What figures do you have? Usually that would be like triple, you know, like where they always.
You know, to be honest with you, it probably sound like I'm not informed on this subject, but here's what I did. In the initial stages, I was really into this, and they would write something, and then I'd spend my time doing a little research on it and come back into the station and start commenting on those. But then you realize it's all a big lie, right?
Right.
And so you're spending your time talking, regurgitating the nonsense that they've put out there. But it wasn't nonsense. It was to manipulate. So I purposely stay away from all the technical aspects of this because I want to just in the basic sense of saying this is a bad project from a humanitarian approach. How can we spend all of this money and on these promises? I tend not to, because they've told us a lot of things that have proven to be untrue.
I heard
not, you follow?
I heard I figure like $50 million would be what they need to maintain the rail system. And then you have to I don't know how much is the excise tax.
How much, for example, did it cost that they say to run HART, and how much would it cost, and would the HART people get paid, or you understand? And
right.
What's the reality? They told us one thing. Now what is reality?
Right, and it would probably be at least triple that amount.
So this gives me the opportunity, affords me the opportunity to say to you, while I may sound shallow in my comments, I'm purposely staying shallow because all the rest of it is crap.
Well, right.
You understand? I mean, from $3 billion now to $10 billion or $9 billion, right?
Yeah.
So how can you understand? We're at a point where it would just be chatter because we don't really know what we're dealing with. We don't know what we're voting on. We don't know what our governor is saying, let's move forward. We don't know what the mayor is moving forward on, right?
And that's coming out of the excise tax, which hurts the poorest people anyway.
Right.
You know, so we poorest people are going to take a big load of
I think
forever,
what is driving this rail is that there are certain individuals or entities that stand to make billions.
Oh yeah.
And that's what the game is about, and they're going to make you and me pay to make them money. It's just that simple. I wish I could tell you something more in greater details and be Tom Berg has quite a bit of information on this, and he's done videos and what have you. But you're challenging people on lies.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're out there and exerting yourself, and you're spending a lot of energy, and you're putting. But what are you talking about? They're not giving you the true situation. So what are you really? It's like hit this target, but it moves.
Yeah.
I'll give you $500 if you hit the target. But it's moving at neck-break speed, right? It's like dealing with magicians, Really, and I'm not making excuses for my shallow insight on this, but I purposely, as again I've said, I purposely refuse to engage and try to digest and come up with some rational explanation because it don't make sense.
So in other words, so when we get the rail built, then that means more and more of our people are going to have to move away from the islands because they can't afford these islands in the first place, you know, even though they've been here for 100 years or 200 years, you know, they're all generation and sucker. It's going to be a nice rich town for the rich, you know.
Yeah. I'm not making excuses, but again, how can you make an informed opinion on when someone is just giving you BS?
Yeah,
right? I mean, how do we hold a rational conversation and come to conclusions to the best outcome? How can you when everything about this project is just flat out, you know what, reeks of BS? I mean,
When you have a slick mayor that he could sell used cars, and he knows how to sell used cars.
But he's not. He's not. He's hoodwinking you. He's lying to you. He's not selling you anything.
Oh no,
he's slick.
Oh, he's slick.
Right, and I don't mean in a good sense.
No.
You understand? So when you incorporate lies and misinformation, and then when it's all said and done, when that fails, you turn around and threaten them. Well, you know, we can't leave this. It's already in place.
Hey, but listen, he goes out with the boys and fills in potholes, you know.
Well, but see, that's what we, the people, have learned to expect and accept. Oh, look at him. He's out there with brand new gym shoes, stepping on potholes, pushing down hot asphalt. He's a good man. Meantime, he's ripping you off blind on the rail. And we just sit back and go, it's going to bring jobs.
Yeah, well, they have a word for that, but I won't say it.
Yeah, well, hold on. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment.
Oh, hey, Carol. I was just made a quick comment, and I'll let you go. I understand the rail is only supposed to be paid for by the GET tax and the federal dollars, and now they're going to float almost $1 billion in bonds. And so I may be wrong, but I think that's illegal. I don't know if you know,
I don't know.
I was told it was only supposed to be, I think we were all told it was all paid for by the GET tax and federal dollars, and now we're getting a different story. Do you know?
I don't know. I can inquire far as bonds, but I would think it violates the truth law if that's what they said it's going to pay for it through GT, and then in turn now we're creating some other source or looking to other sources. That's being disingenuous.
Yes. Well, that was it.
Okay. Well, thank you. I will follow up and ask.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Again, folks, I'm not going to sit here and present myself as having any knowledge about this rail, but when you get liars, thieves, and cheats and manipulators to present a problem, that's where I hang out. I hang out at that strata. And some might say I should be apologetic for it, but no. Let's keep this simple. They're using the basic strategy of rip you off, period. This is all this is. And when you see others gravitating, well, we'll trade you land near the rail, then you know that's an indicator right there that there's a greater interest and there's a different people than the public being served on this project. And to work fast as they have worked. And then they told us this before, you know, when Parsons was that issue. And, well, they've already started these things, and we can't really go backwards. Now, you can always go backwards. Always, because that's what we're doing anyway. In reality, we are operating like a backwards ass company, a country, to take monies that we don't have, and then bank on what someone promised us with an economic or political climate that will change like the weather, and it has changed like the weather. Now we find, I mean, you're talking about. Perfect example of not trusting these local politicians who, yes, Senator Inouye was grand, but the rest of you clown, you ain't got it. If you sit there and put all your money in one basket and now you run around, that's what the public is missing. They can't draw the conclusion, and it's right there in their laps. These are the most inefficient, ineffective, unskilled, uninformed politicians you'll ever find anywhere. Ever. Because the situation is we're being given the worst scenario financially, and we buy into it. We should have a bus sitting there at the state capitol saying, anybody that think that you can continue to present and advance these types of strategies or business plans, then we don't need you. We'll leave those chairs vacant. And we can clean this government up, and it's costly. But I'm sorry, the issues with this rail go far beyond how much it's going to cost. It speaks to the political climate and the astuteness or inability of the voter here to take control over what it is that you do in a democracy. When things are not going right, you vote them out. When things are going right, you build on it. You see, that's the problem. And we're not seeing that. We're seeing, hey, guys, there's going to be an opportunity. So select few get the benefit from the rail, and the masses pay for it. Heard that scenario before somewhere. But that's what is going on. And again, I can talk numbers, and I have made many, many letters and notes on this, but I found myself appearing to be a little silly because I would say one thing based on what they present early on in this game, and then I'm thinking, wow, if I heard you talking, Carol Cox, I would say you didn't know what you were talking about because on this issue, you said this, and then that's not the truth. That's not with the facts. But we don't have those facts readily retrievable in front of us when they make a statement today. It's not right there for retrieval. So you and I make comments and statements, and we draw conclusions, but based on erroneous information. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I just wonder, what do you think the chances are to halt this thing?
I think it's grand. We can do it. It's just a matter of the people recognizing.
How should we go about it, do you think?
Well, first start calling and writing the city council and tell them that, remember, they had to get permission to extend and expand, and also the state legislators. To just simply tell them, we reject, we don't want any more, no more investments in this. Because I equate it to, remember Soweto in South Africa?
Yeah, sure.
And remember, that was an entire country built on the blood, sweat, and tears and mm-hmm. the investments from around the world, countries relying on those investments. And people started to hold concerts and speak out and make commercials. And people said, well, we can't stop that. That's a mountain that it's impossible. It's impervious. That's a wall that you can't penetrate. And guess what? They did, right?
Yeah.
And it started with people like Stevie Wonder and others singing and clapping hands and joining and embracing and acknowledging, first of all, acknowledging that it does not serve the better, the whole of the people.
Well, how do you think that a significant number of people that were so much in favor of the thing are now against it?
I believe they are, but we've not been afforded, you know, I see in the paper they do surveys, but the surveys are kind of cockeyed.
Yeah.
But I believe, based on what I hear, now I hear there's still that fragment of people that say, well, it brings jobs, but the reality, they know it
does not. Yeah, but I mean, so does a tsunami bring jobs. You got to rebuild.
Yeah,
you know, and Hitler brought jobs, killing the Jews.
Well, my response to that is that when they tell me that, yeah, but imagine how many jobs can be created, will be created if we were tearing it down.
That's a good point. Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah, certainly.
And take that money and just say we made a bad investment.
And we got to go that way. I think concerning Inouye, he's always bribing. Just because he brings in money, if you're bringing in money for bad things, that's not a good thing.
Well,
that's a bad thing. That's a bribe.
and I think that the people pushing forward with this rail recognize that. They recognize that if people saw all good in that bringing that port, that they knew they had an audience that could be manipulated.
Well, it's like the developer saying, "Okay, we're gonna do a good thing. We're gonna build you a school." Well, then you got to maintain the school and hire the teachers and pay millions of dollars to to staff the school. So, Billy, that's just not the way to go when you think we just go this far and then we dump the rest on you.
Nobody brings in pork.
Yeah.
Without wanting some portion of that pork diverted to them.
Right.
No
yeah.
one.
And if that is one of the reasons why that brought the vote in favor of the rail by virtue of who they voted for,
mm-hmm.
if Inouye's donation, whatever you want to call it, is pork,
yeah.
then you see the $10 billion it costs us.
Mm-hmm.
No thanks, Inouye. You know, this was not a good. This was just, as I said, a bribe to convince people that, oh, wow.
See, who amongst us have the ability to go back and say, well, okay, we had this much money committed to us, and it arrived at our shore. But where did it go? Was it diverted? Was it pass-through money? Did the senator have other friends and smaller companies that nibble away at it? Did all of the money go? For example, the brown tree snake. Just as they say, he brings in money.
My pet peeve.
And they bring in the money, and they buy a few dogs, or they hire a few people to train. But the reality is a great portion of the money is diverted. So the brown tree snake really isn't addressed after all.
That's right.
So we must know that. But how do you react or respond to lies on lies on lies?
Well, I think you just have to kind of, think big. I think of what America did to the Marshall Islands, the government certainly gave them a lot of money, and so then we went and nuked them, and now the people are they've had all kinds of genetic damage, and the people that died from thyroid cancer, and some of their islands have disappeared off the face of the earth. But they got lots of money for that.
Reward anybody with so many uncertainties built into a project? Mm-hmm. That's what's frightening. Mm-hmm. Is that we, the people, are willing to? Okay, it's one thing to sell us a bill of goods that's not good.
That's right.
It's another to continue and not question.
Well, we certainly bought something that's one more thing, then I'm going to let somebody else in. But as I remember reading many, many times, they estimated only about, 1%
mm-hmm.
of the people would be riding the train?
Yes.
So that's like one out of 100 cars, there will only be 99 on the road now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Am I thinking right on that?
I think that's right, but again, these are the numbers that they, and so...
But, I mean, even if they admit it, it's only going to be 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And where I hope that, Cliff Slater and Ben Cayetano and those guys get back up and going on this thing.
Well, I think we all can start simply rather than waiting until they resurrect something or pour water and revive them on it. I would say that the average citizen, that every citizen out there that believes he or she believes that this project should stop, just initiate simple phone calls and write letters to both the legislators.
Yeah.
And it's doable because it's the only smart thing, in my opinion.
Well, and that doesn't take much effort at all. Eh?
Right. It takes nothing. You don't have to summon the gods or the trumpets or not. Just strike up the band. Just do it,
So we might better talk to them than to each other.
Right.
So I'm going to start writing down some phone numbers.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for waiting, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Like Obamacare, we were fed a bill of goods, and everybody went along with it. You can keep your doctor, you can keep your health care plan. It's going to cost this much, and it's been a total lie. And these arguments are just very similar. Politicians all around are the same.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to do about it? Now, I've heard about Obama and
tear it down like the rail. Tear Obamacare down.
Well.
Come up with another plan.
And this reminds me of why people are so apathetic. We have a simple conversation, and how the hell did we get to talk about Obama? Come on, man. There's many other instances that you can use in as an example. I understand, but there's so many things that are out there that the equivalent of this, and so this reminds me of why the people are stuck where they are and why people can impose on them, because everybody's fragmented for political purposes. Yes, Obamacare may have its problems, but right now the bigger problem, every person in town is going to be spending toward $10 billion and made to pay for something that we don't benefit from, and then it's not good. So I appreciate your comments on I'd love to talk about the Obamacare because it's not perfect. I'm tired of paying co-payments and all of that. I agree with you there, but for right now, can we just enjoy the conversation and appreciate and move forward and try, because this is both are problematic, but I just don't see how they fit. They don't dovetail. But you're fading out there. But give me a call next week and let's talk about it. I would love to. I've heard many things about Obamacare that causes problems, but right now I care about the rail and what people are experiencing and the hardship and the financial. Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments.
Hi, Carol. Again, listen. You know, it's. You remember when Guy Tunnell had his campaign, and he had very viable solutions to not to solving our traffic rules without doing a damn rail. And the solutions are looking them right in the nose. You do the buses better, and nothing else. You could even just make lanes especially for buses, you know, during those certain hours, you know, when the traffic, you know, the rush hours.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you need a little extra money for that, you can you could even say, listen, if you're gonna drive yourself in your darn car, you're gonna have to fight the traffic, or you're gonna have to find the new way, the wonderful buses that will get you from.
Let me suggest this for all those out there that gives a hoot. It's time to stop conversing on this and start to dictating. What is it that we want to fix this? What is it that we want to remedy this? We, instead of regurgitating, we should start dictating to our leaders. This is what we want, and it's about that time. But, you know, there's just so much chitter-chatter, and no one ever says, well, let's just put our feet down and say no.
Yeah,
and it's that simple. It's theories and strategies and all.
Oh, that's true.
Send a strong message that to the legislators, to the city council, if you dare give consideration to this, you then are burdened with at least making them show publicly, fleshing it out. No more secrecy, no more semi-autonomous behavior between heart and this and that. We want to see the real goods, period. Then we can maybe discuss this. But for right now, a dictate and a mandate. To just simply call up and say no. If you think, you know, that's what we should do, and that's the how we should approach this, because we've heard mountains of lies. We've heard, you know, Ansaldo, and there's this company, and then with the company, you understand? So you see how we commented about that company and this company going bankrupt and the French, and then you find out, it doesn't matter. See, it's a distraction. The reality is we need to teach them how the calf ate the cabbage. This is where the line is here, folks. No more. Nothing. Well, it's going to cost you. It's a waste. Good. We would waste the $3 billion, and more likely it wasn't $3 billion. More likely it's maybe $1 billion and the rest went to their friends. The caller, you should have held on. I was going to answer you. But anyway, call back if there was another caller. But feel free to call back if you want. But, it's time to dictate. And for the city council and any of them to give consideration, it is what it is, right? That GET was specific, right? And have they voted on it? I lost track of it because they had other things. Hold on. Okay, I guess their message or whatever, their comments so hot they got to have, if you don't answer right away, they ain't going to comment. So anyway, must have been Grabowski.
No, can I say? I know you're talking about, we got to say no to the rail, but I really had to seriously take the bus so I can get around now, basically, and I found out that, listen, hey, I remember, I was back there in the early 70s when the buses were terribly rousing, but if you can just talk to people, listen, darn it, if you don't have to use your darn car, take the buses and then we encourage the bus
right
people to,
well, remember, you're not saying no to the rail, you're saying no to this bad management, this foolhardy approach that we see now, and the cost, that's what you're saying no to.
Yeah.
The unabated
unchecked. This is what you're saying no to. So
yeah, well, here's a good example. We can maybe do this on the rail too, but the e-bus, that comes from Eva and then goes through our parliament. It goes right on the freeway. You'll be downtown in 20 minutes. It's a good, efficient bus. Well, if you remember, or maybe it was Carlo. Yeah, I think he cut that out with a number of other buses.
Well, we
really raised hell. We made phone calls, we wrote letters, and we kept on the mayor's case on this. It says, listen, people are having to take two or three buses just to get to their job in Waikiki. But we said, listen, we got that back. Now that e-bus is going right back where it used to go, all the way to Waikiki. And people like are never that really depend on their to get to their job and not be late, you know. And that's the kind of activism.
Right. Hold on. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, Carol?
Yes.
How you doing? Yeah. I'm a student at Leeward Community College, and I'm taking botany class, and my teacher's name is Mrs. Nishimoto, and she's supposed to lecture us on botany, but all of a sudden she starts talking about the rail, and because it's a major concern to her, and she said that in the front page, she cannot believe that the city council is going to start selling bonds. And if they do that, dealing with the rail, we're going to end up paying for the bonds. And she said that if this happens, she's planning to move out of Hawaii. And she said that within 10 years, she's going to move out. And she warned everybody that the rail is coming and beware.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that kind of scared me because... She's from the mainland. She's Japanese, mainland Japanese, and she doesn't have family here. So, I guess she can move out anytime she wants. But she says she loves Hawaii. But, if this happens, she's going to move out. You're going to be paying for the rail. And she warned everybody that this rail is coming. It looks like there's no turning back. There's no way of stopping it.
Well, I don't ascribe to that, but that's, everyone. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment.
Yes, is this, am I on?
Yeah, you're on, man.
Okay.
Hot mic and all.
I heard the thing with the other caller. I thought I was on when the other caller went on. Anyway, great show. I hope you continue this subject for hard and fast for quite a while. This is an extremely important subject. I'm just wondering, can we get rid of the mayor and the city council under the sit and lie law?
Yeah, that's right, because they're sitting doing, and they're lying. Oh, no, that's a different, I'm sorry. But either way, you're right.
I think Cliff Slater had mentioned on one of the news shows that the rail stuff might be able to be modified and used for the
maglev.
No, not the maglev, for the car overpass type of thing. So that would be that doesn't take all the maintenance and everything, and it deals directly with the traffic problem, kind of thing. So that would be a really great thing to do. So I think it needs to be a lot of effort put into this, and needs to probably have some kind of organization and way to direct our energies and things.
Well, if you guys, any of you out there, know anybody that can offer better understanding of this and moving towards saying no, I welcome, and we'll have several shows. I have no problem with that. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think being more specific on a few things so the public can understand it is a really good thing. Just say no is a good simple phrase to understand. And I don't know. I just there's just so many things to say about this, but I think the what's been built already may be able to be modified.
toward the overpass, the car overpass type of thing.
But how do we trust the same people to convert that and then stay within the bounds of the cost and whatever? How do we separate the two, or do we embrace them and allow them still freedom to? That's the part that frustrates me.
Yeah, I guess we need to get the different people in there, you know, both these people out. It sure be nice if there was a way to recall these people when they lie like that, you know.
Yeah. And remember now, who appointed them and who they are. What's their expertise that even got into Hart? Look at some of the names and all, Bunda and those guys. How much rail time has Bunda had? And our knowledge on rails and what have you, right? On Hart and others. You follow?
Oh, right. Exactly.
So when we talk about reversing this thing, we have to start right from scratch, you know?
Well,
and then to add insult to injury, Mufi Hanneman has a great role in presenting this and introducing this, right? And had the balls to come back and run for governor.
Right.
So that tells me that he knows that they were out. He is familiar and informed of the lack of monies and the abuse and the misspending and the shortage that he, if he was governor, he wouldn't have to ask permission. Sign it out, right?
Right, right, yeah. Well, anyway, the thing with Caldwell was that got me very scared about Caldwell is he was Mufi's right-hand man.
Say to you, and remember the arsonists always return to the scene of the fire.
Yeah.
So, anyway, hold on 1 second. Caller, good morning. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comment or question.
I just want to ask you a quick question. What happened to the show that was before your show, Poker? Is that still on?
I don't know. I have no idea. I was listening myself and didn't hear him on. I don't know.
Because it was on 8 to 9, and suddenly they were rerunning things from last night, and it looked like they took him off the air. I don't know why.
I don't know. That's draw to that conclusion. I don't know.
What is your opinion on the appointment by the governor of all those lobbyists into key position in the state government?
Like I said to you, they asked me what I think about Ige, and I said, look at the people he appointed. And so for me, I think his appointments say that he doesn't understand anything. And he gives away the candy shop like anyone else, just in a different fashion.
Yep.
When you privatize, when you hand it off your responsibility as governor to others, then you invest it in them and you lose voice and you lose control.
You have to consult.
I think it's a bad idea. You want my opinion? I think that this governor has failed, unbelievably failed. His written all over his administration is failure, because not just these, this appointment, but others. So.
But this is why people don't want to vote. Because
they don't want to vote because they're just lazy and apathetic. Look, every year there's a problem presented. That's nothing, no excuse. If you got to vote, you always got that forever. And so to be discouraged one day and then say, I'm going to give up the whole thing, I mean, then you shouldn't be in the arena of voting anyway. If your vote is, you're that careless and place such low value on your vote, then, yeah, you're right. They deserve what they get. You know, I don't mean to be argumentative, but it's inexcusable. You either, the American way is you vote, you have a voice, you fault, people die to get the vote. And then so you meet one guy who lies to you and then you say, I'm not voting anymore. No, that's when you really stiffen your pencil and sharpen it and vote. You get involved, right?
I thought you were moving your show to a daily show. Is that possible?
I'm going to try. Still looking at things, so it takes money to do that, you know. But we'll see.
You got to be sponsored and things like that.
Well, yeah, you do. You have to be. So, but we'll,
and I don't understand why they're sponsoring those Republican shows when they could make room for a local person to have a show. I don't understand this.
Well, I believe that the Republicans have a voice, and in America, everybody should be able to talk. And why build a Trojan horse when they are willing to sit on radio and talk? You learn everything that they know and what they think. So look at it from that vantage point. So let me try the other caller here, Holder.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I know it's getting near the end, Carol, but, you know, everybody seems to be against the rail. I've been living in Eva Beach, And I've been waiting for the rail ever since Green Mancho voted against it way back when. For me, driving to downtown office 5 days a week, it's very expensive. And
yeah.
I could have saved thousands of dollars through these years if the rail had been running and is running. You know, 5 days a week saves a lot of gas, wear and tear in your car. I'd be sitting on a rail looking down at the people in traffic.
Right. Well, let me...
One lady mentioned, what percent of the people are going to ride the rail? She said, she estimated 1%.
I don't...
For example, H3, how many people run...
Well, that's...
On H3, and it would cost billions to build, so you can't use these type of statistics.
Right, but you got, you know, I beg you to listen to what I'm saying. I'm not, I don't care about the rail. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's the, what's behind it, how we arrive at it, Ed. That's the question. The cost, from, you go from $3 billion, and you of all people, you know profit is a concern, and you're not going to waste money, so... Please hear what I'm saying. It's about how we arrive. If you build a rail, then stay within your means and don't tax the people. There are senior citizens that will be completely displaced if the taxes continue to go up, the cost of living. So it's not about sitting your butt on a rail and driving to work and looking down on the people. It's about the people that are going to be impacted in the process. So it's not about the rail. It's about what is happening being railroaded into failure. That's this project presents many, many flaws. And that's what I'm speaking to. I don't know anything about the technology, how efficient it is, or how one would feel if they're riding a rail to get to work on time. I don't know about that. I do know economics, and I do know lies. And when they presented one thing, and now the cost of that lie is giving 10 times the amount originally stated, you have to agree, concur with me, that that should be, from an economical standpoint, that we should be concerned. Forget the other part.
The biggest flaw in all of this is, the biggest flaw in all of what goes on this island rests with the Democrats in the legislature. And the corruption and the under table, it keeps going on, like Calvin Fays and all these people who use the people.
Right.
And, you know, unless we can get honest people in government, there's always people out there willing to fight.
I always say, and I'm always going to say this forever, I would love to see Republicans in place, but if they continue to make priorities of who's having sex with who and how they're having sex and who's teaching sex and then striking down at the Voters' Rights Acts and diminishing the ability of people to vote, I'm sorry. We're going to have to deal with the Democrats because nobody's going to turn and look at and trust someone who gets into their bedroom, their uterus, or anything. And it's so unfortunate because there are some sharp Republicans out there that care. But
I'm not sure if I trust a Republican majority either.
Oh, no, I know. I agree with you.
I think we should get rid of the name Republican.
Let me catch this one caller.
Sure.
Caller, go ahead with your comment real quick.
Real quick, yeah. Gerald, that last caller, he's in Emma Beach. I'm wanting to recommend that he e-bus. He'll be impressed. He won't have to have wear and tear on his car, and he won't have to even do the driving.
Already
driving for it. It's all air conditioned.
Okay, guys, we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, bye. Caller, you there?
Hello.
Yes, real quick. You got 5 seconds or 10 seconds.
Okay, Panos is a national transportation expert. His plan was really good. That's what should be looked at as for something real to do about this rail thing.
Well, we're going to do some more on this because I'm bothered with the fact that we're going to be up to our necks in money and don't even know what we're getting.
And how many jobs is this rail destroying? All the tax? How many jobs and small businesses are they destroying?
I only know of one bona fide, recognizable job that is associated with the rail, and that is the big screw job that is occurring here. That's all that I know about. The rest of it, they can't tell us who they are. They won't show us who they are. We don't know where they're from. So the screw job is the only job that I recognize within this rail. So we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.